T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2 of our broadcast, we left off talking about another manifestation of blackface. A university professor saying that there have been other incidences and wanted to clear the air and say that's not what they represent. Let's go out to a call from Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. Yeah, my question is, how come the whole Virginia blackface scandal is not talked about anymore? You know, that went away real quick. Is it a bigger issue because it's a Democrat governor and lieutenant governor? You know, but none of that stuff is covered anymore, and you got to wonder if the roles were reversed, which there have been Republican governors in the past that have, you know, done wrong, such as South Carolina, that has been put in the news nonstop. What happened to the Virginia thing with the whole blackface situation?
And you know what really pulled the rug out of this entire scandal? The NAACP accepted his apology. So once they did that, it was over. That was it.
So is that the new benchmark now?
Of course it is.
Apologize. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not the apology. It's not the apology so much. It is the endorsement of the, let's just say, the organization in charge of grievances. So they're the gatekeepers on all grievances. So just keep that in mind, Mark.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
Hey, I appreciate your call. And that's what it means. NAACP clears you, you're fine. If not, you're screwed. Don't know what else to say there. Willie, good morning.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life.
Hello, Vince. How are you?
Have you tried a bottle of Jameson yet? Well, whatever you got going on, I suggest you go to the nearest ABC store, pick up a nice bottle of Jameson, have a few shots, and you'll feel better Monday. Hey, Vince. How you doing, my friend?
All right,
sir. Greetings from sunny Florida, man. It's hot as hell over here. I know you guys have a lot of rain, but I'll tell you what, it's 80 degrees. I'm getting some sun.
Just rub it in.
And it's just wonderful here. I mean, this is just a beautiful place, a lot of palm trees, construction going on. But hey, other than that, I got some great words of wisdom for you. You know, today's Friday, right?
Okay.
Ready? God is great. Beer is good. And people are freaking crazy. I love you to death, brother. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend there, Willie. Yeah, exactly. Let's go out to Joe in Charlotte. Good morning.
Yes, sir. I just want to make sure people know that our two senators, both Tom Tillis and Richard Burr, supported that atrocious bill, that budget bill that that they just passed to keep the government open, that they both supported.
Yep. That's not shocking, is it? Unfortunately, this is standard fare. I appreciate your call there, Joe. What more can we possibly add to that? Let's talk about the Jussie Smollett story, which is getting a lot of media attention. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about some people really, absolutely, positively ticked off? How about the people with Chicago Police Department? Here they've been involved in this investigation of some so-called hate crime. And then to find out this whole thing is a scam. Whole thing was set up, orchestrated by none other than Jussie Smollett himself for personal gain. The police department chief superintendent, his name is Eddie Johnson. Let's listen to some of his comments here.
I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims? Bogus police reports cause real harm. They do harm to every legitimate victim who's in need of support by police and investigators, as well as the citizens of this city. Chicago hosts one of the largest pride parades in the world, and we're proud of that as a police department and also as a city. We do not, nor will we ever tolerate hate in our city, whether that hate is based on an individual's sexual orientation, race, or anything else. So I'm offended by what's happened, and I'm also angry. I love the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department, warts and all. But this publicity stunt was a scar that Chicago didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve. To make things worse, the accusations within this phony attack received national attention for weeks. Celebrities, news commentators, and even presidential candidates weighed in on something that was choreographed by an actor. First, Smollett attempted to gain attention by sending a false letter that relied on racial, homophobic, and political language. When that didn't work, Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process. And why? This stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary. So he concocted a story about being attacked. Now, our city has problems. We know that. We have problems that have affected people from all walks of life, and we know that. But to put the national spotlight on Chicago for something that is both egregious and untrue is simply shameful. I'm also concerned about what this means moving forward for hate crimes. Now, of course, the Chicago Police Department will continue to investigate all reports of these types of incidents with the same amount of vigor that we did with this one. But my concern is that hate crimes will now publicly be met with a level of skepticism that previously didn't happen.
Yep, all because of Jussie Smollett. Can you imagine how ticked off they are? They are really ticked off. By the way, and we told you the new development this morning. Deadline reporting. One day after his arrest on multiple felony charges for the alleged racist and so-called homophobic attack of last month, the producers of Empire have cut the actor from the rest of the show's fifth season. He is toast. Gone. The statement here, the events of the past few weeks have been incredibly emotional for all of us. All of us. Jussie has been an important member of our Empire family for the past 5 years. We care about him deeply. While these allegations are very disturbing, we're placing our trust in the legal system as the process plays out. We're also aware of the effects of this process on the cast and crew members who work on our show. And to avoid further disruption on set, we've decided to remove the role of Jamal from the final two episodes of the season. So, adios, Jussie. What does that do for your salary, by the way? Charles saying Smollett should pay the city's bill for all the law enforcement hours wasted. I agree. I think many of you would as well. Love to get your thoughts. All right. And the news just keeps coming on this bizarre Jussie Smollett story. We've got yet new developments on this story. Mr. Smollett has apparently claimed he has an untreated drug problem. Cops say he bought ecstasy from a hoax accomplice. Here is the Sun's version of this story, telling officers he has a drug problem as they arrested him for staging this street attack. Cops later said the Empire star had bought ecstasy from one of the brothers said to have helped him in this elaborate hoax. Boy. He went straight from court to the TV set, where he made a tearful apology to cast and crew, but they were said to be furious at him over the outrageous alleged stunt. During his arrest, he told officers he struggled with drug use and had never been treated. And police papers say text messages appear to show Smollett asking Powell and Empire Extra, Abel Osandero, for Molly. That's a street name for ecstasy. If he is convicted, a drug problem could be used as a mitigating factor and get his sentence reduced. Abel, who worked on the TV show The Humiliated Star, and his brother Ola were allegedly paid to stage this fake attack last month. Police say the actor messaged Abel days before saying, might need your help on the low. Smollett reportedly headed straight to the Empire TV set from court to plead with cast members after being released on bond. Sources told TMZ that Jesse arrived late on the TV set, then begged his castmates to believe he did not orchestrate the hoax. He reportedly said, I'm sorry I've put all of you through this and not answered any calls. I wanted to say I'm sorry, and you know me. I would never do this to any of you. You're my family. I swear to God I did not do this. After the emotional speech, he went on to shoot scenes for the upcoming series. But co-stars say they felt hurt and embarrassed that he's back after damaging the show's image. What do you think? Wouldn't you be ticked off, too, if you're a part of this cast and crew? To have all of this terrible publicity now brought upon you. You're associated with this nonsense. Let's go out to a call from Larry in Rock Hill. Good morning.
How you doing, Vance, today? How you doing?
All right, sir.
I want to speak on that thing with the man from Empire, man. He's really making the people look bad, man. He shouldn't have did that. I mean, I can understand he's on drugs. That's understandable. But, hey, man, you got to understand, man. You can't lie on people like that, man. I mean, that's really terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty low. Pretty low. You're right about that, Larry. I appreciate your call. I think a lot of people are thinking the same thing here. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Coakley. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I can think that's one of two times in my lifetime that celebrities have proven how great America is, because this gentleman from Empire had to hire somebody to prove how racist the United States is. And the other one was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson grew up a poor African-American kid and died an ugly, white, rich woman. So, I mean, he just...
Oh, Keith. That is terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. My goodness. Wow. What are we going to do with you folks sometimes? But I get part of the idea here. Isn't it crazy? By the way, I think I've mentioned to you some of the silly memes I've seen floating around the internet. Was there a new one that I came across that was, here's one. It's one with Jesse Smollett and Bill Cosby sitting next to him with a spoon, and he has a product called J-A-I-L-O. J-A-I-L-O. You're going to love my pudding. Isn't that terrible? That is just cruel. There's another one here. I've got my friend Steve Day sent this one out this morning, a picture of Jesse Smollett's mugshot. And it says, everybody makes mistakes. Don't beat yourself up. Isn't that terrible? Oh, gosh. Speaking of terrible, I probably should not. Well, just a little journey into the silly. I've got a friend who, you know, who loves circulating a lot of silly videos. And he sent me one yesterday that has this morbidly obese guy going down a water slide. You've probably seen these, where he goes down the water slide, and then right at the point where there's a splash, he cut to video of a tsunami. My goodness.
I hate when people video me on vacation. That's embarrassing.
They caught you in the act, huh?
They did. Yep.
That was you. Okay, I figured that out now.
Yeah, send that to me, will you?
Yeah, I'll send that one to you. By the way, in the contrary, he's got another one where this guy, let's just say, what are we supposed to say now? Little people? There's this little person who's jumping into the ocean. and John knows what's coming.
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
It's just a little drop. Makes a little drop sound. In contrast to the big tsunami. Oh, goodness. Sometimes you really have to wonder about people. Hey, good opportunity for us to take a look at the day in history. Let's go to our upstate studio and Lonzo, who's very eagerly awaiting the opportunity to talk with us. Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Ready to answer four questions here on this 22nd day of February, 2019. We begin in 1879. His first name is Frank, and he opened his first 5-cent store in Utica, New York. What is his last name? Five and Dime Store. Well, actually, 5-cent store this time.
First, what was the year again? I think
1879. His first name is Frank.
Walmart.
Oh, no, no, no.
Last name isn't Walmart? Oh, okay.
Do you want to guess this one, Johnny? I think you may know this.
Woolworth?
You're correct.
Thank you, Charles Jenkins.
Yeah, he stole that from Charles. Way to go.
Does that mean there's a guy with the last name of Wilco? I don't know if you remember that.
That's a good question.
Yeah, we had a Wilco right here in Charlotte.
Got to look that one up. 1924, the first radio broadcast from the White House. Who was president in 1924? Think of Roaring Twenties. Probably one of our best underrated presidents in history.
Let's see. There was a Roosevelt for like 25 years. I'm going to go Roosevelt.
Oh, ooh. Not quite yet. Any guesses here in studio? Charles, I bet you know this. Roaring Twenties. Presidents. No. Alliteration for his name.
Millard Fillmore.
Oh. Ah, there we go. We got to bring in Millard. Alliteration. Two initials the same here.
We know what alliteration is, Vince. We just can't figure it out.
Calvin Coolidge.
My grandpa was named Calvin Coolidge, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting. 1935, this very important place in Washington, D.C. became a no-fly zone. Probably the most important place in D.C. What was it?
The White House?
You're correct. Officially became a no-fly zone in 1935. And we've got one more question, but we're out of time. We'll address it right after this break. Stay with us. We're talking about the possibility of four additional sports in the 2024 Olympic Games. Surfing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and what's number four, Lonzo?
I'm popping and locking to this music, man. It's awesome.
Break dancing. Yeah. Remember this one from Breaking?
Yes. Come on.
My goodness, that really brings back memories, doesn't it?
Did you actually watch Breaking? I think you're pretending.
I never have. I've never seen this.
So you didn't see Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo either?
I've missed them both. I knew you'd get a kick out of this, though. Isn't that crazy, though, that 2024, as long as this has been around, they're thinking about including this in the Olympics? Is that it?
Listen, that takes me back. That's awesome because... You know, I was in high school, and so were you probably, when breaking first started. And our wrestling team, every time we would go somewhere, we were a mostly black school. So every time we would go to all the uppity white schools up in the north of Ohio, they had never seen breakdancing before. So they would all go out there and start breaking before we would wrestle. It was amazing.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. By the way, they're going to make a decision on this, the IOC, by December 2020. Following the Tokyo Games, so we'll find out whether breakdancing finds its way into the Olympics.
I'm waiting for the esports to get in there, and then we're ready to go.
Okay, man. That is too funny.
Hey, Vince, will there be an age limit on that, do you think, entering for the breakdancing?
I'm betting there would be.
Oh, okay. Hey, John, me, you, and Charles, we just need a fourth.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
We don't want to use Vince, though.
No.
Yeah, you better find somebody else because, yeah. Not for me. Lonzo, have yourself a great weekend, man. Good to talk to you.
You too. See ya.
Let's go out to a call from Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Vince. Thank you for taking my call. I want to tell you I really appreciate your show.
Hey, thank you.
My comment is regarding all this blackface and racism that's going on. You know, I know some people are coming out now and apologizing, which is great. It's a great thing to do. But we really, I think some people are just jumping on the bandwagon on this to make themselves look good. But the whole thing about it is we just need to learn from our past and start changing attitudes. You know, we can tear down statues, we can do whatever it takes, but, you know, bottom line is people just need to get back to the basics of realizing we're all God's creation. We all need to love each other, regardless of race, color, creed. And, you know, it's move on, learn from it. I mean, they even left the gas chambers up in Auschwitz so that it's a memorial, so people can learn from the the past mistakes and move on and honor that as something that, you know, was horrific, but we learned from it. And, you know, I don't know if you remember or not. I remember when I was in high school, there was a reporter, or not a reporter, a book writer, and I cannot remember his name for the life of me. Maybe you can look this up. But he wrote a book. He was a white gentleman, and he went and actually took injections to darken his skin, and he wore a wig, and he went down south and lived among the blacks. He wrote a book. It's called Black Like Me. And I wish I could remember his name, but I want to see how people would feel about, you know, that nowadays, that, you know, he actually did that and tried to become black just to learn what it was like to be black.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's a very different animal, isn't it, Michael? Somebody who just wants to be able to identify with the experience and learn something from it. Appreciate your call and your sentiments there, Michael, because this is where so many of us are. We just want to be able to push forward with some sort of healthy perspective on all of this. Tony out of Huntersville, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have an interesting question. I lived in the 9th district for a long time, moved to Greensboro for 1 year. Last year I did vote in that district. My vote counted. I have recently moved back to Huntersville. So if I was to vote last year, I would have voted for Harris. But since they're going to redo the election, am I opted out since I was registered in Guilford County to vote now in Mecklenburg County?
So where are you registered now?
Still Greensboro, but I'm going to change my registration tonight to Mecklenburg County, to my new address that I've moved to.
Okay. How long have you been away?
Just 1 year.
Oh, just 1 year, because I know those district boundaries have been changed. And my understanding, you're sure you're in 9 again?
Yeah, I'm in 9.
Okay. Well, I assume you'll have an opportunity to vote again.
Yeah, I know. That's what's so weird, because I would be voting in 9 when I already voted for that election in 7. It's weird. So it's like I'm double voting.
It's kind of different, but strange things happen, and I'm sure it's not the last time something unusual is going to happen in that regard. We have a breaking news story to tell you about, by the way. The ongoing investigation of people associated with the Trump administration, kind of moving away from the special prosecutor. We now have word that New York prosecutors are preparing to charge Paul Manafort. They're preparing to charge him, criminally charge him. He is now a convicted tax cheat and bank fraudster. And if he's going to be charged by New York, this means he cannot be pardoned. That's what's significant about this. No pardon. They're preparing to criminally charge Paul Manafort. So it'll be interesting to see what charges emerge from New York authorities. This would include tax and other charges, including ones related to laws requiring the keeping of accurate business records. So stay tuned to this one. back to the final stretch of the broadcast on this Friday. On the subject of pandering, we have this story. Two Democratic 2020 hopefuls, Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren, embraced the idea of reparations for Black Americans. Haven't heard about this in a while, have you? It's back. Reparations. They support reparations for Black Americans affected by slavery, reflecting a shift in the importance of race and identity issues within the party. Harris doubled down on her support for reparations after agreeing with a host on the popular radio show The Breakfast Club that the race-conscious policy was necessary to address the legacies of slavery and discrimination in the U.S. Ms. Harris said, "We have to be honest. People in this country do not start from the same place or have access to the same opportunities. I'm serious about taking an approach that would change policies and structures and make real investments in Black communities." What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? Warren also supports reparations. "We must confront the dark history of slavery and government-sanctioned discrimination in this country. This had many consequences, including undermining the ability of Black families to build wealth in America for generations. We need systemic structural changes to address that." I always get concerned when I hear this. Structure changes. What does that really mean? It's just another means of transferring wealth from one person or one group to another. It's how this happens. Julian Castro. It's also indicated he would support reparations. See, I'm kind of curious here. What does that look like? What are reparations? How do you do it? What is the formula you come up with, and who do you pay, and on what basis? No official comments from those campaigns when Fox News reached out to them. By the way, scholars estimate Black families earn just over $57 for every $100 earned by white families, according to the Census Bureau. Cory Booker has proposed helping poor children by giving them government-funded savings accounts that could hold up to $50,000 for the lowest income brackets. Kirsten Gillibrand supports a plan to allow Americans without checking accounts, allowing them to bank at their local post office. Huh? Other prominent Democrats stopped short of backing reparations, including Bernie Sanders, who dismissed the idea. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have expressed reservations. Well, duh. So, yeah, I'm curious. How does this work? How do you determine who to pay and how much? Kind of intriguing. Speaking of 2020, we've also got this. New Jersey's passed a bill, the Senate, that would keep Donald Trump off the ballot unless he releases his tax returns. Do you remember this? What story does this intersect with during the Barack Obama era? There was an effort to try to keep him off the ballot until he released his birth certificate. Do you remember that? I can't remember which state that was, but that failed. But the state Senate has overwhelmingly voted to pass this bill to allow the president's name to stay off the ballot unless his tax returns are released. The vote was 23-11. Still has to get approval from the House in New Jersey. Then it would require a signature from the governor, Phil Murphy. It would deny candidates for president and vice president a spot on the state ballot if they do not publicly release 5 of their most recent tax returns at least 50 days before the general election. If passed, it would also bar the state's electors from voting for candidates for president and vice president as part of the electoral college system if they choose not to comply with the legislation. So what do you think about this? Do you think this stunt will actually succeed, or is this one going to go bust? And we have the folks in Vermont who've decided to outdo New York. Did you hear about this one? passing a staggering abortion bill, the most expansive abortion bill yet. It would allow abortion at any stage of pregnancy and for any reason whatsoever. Critics say this legislation more expansive abortion rights than the extremist bills passed in New York and Virginia. Every individual who becomes pregnant has the fundamental right to choose to carry pregnancy to term, give birth to a child, or to have an abortion. The vote on this is heartbreaking. This really tells you how far gone the state of Vermont is. This passed by a vote of 106 to 36. This would strip unborn children of any rights or recognition of their personhood by the state. In fact, this is how it reads. A fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus shall not have independent rights under Vermont law. Republicans introduced several amendments to the bill, including one that would require women to receive an ultrasound before aborting their baby. The objections voted down by Democrats. Another amendment would require minors to have parental consent before aborting a child. That was also voted down. We're dealing with some pretty crazy radical people, aren't we? Who are very much married to a culture of death. So, now we have our praying orders for the weekend, you think? In the meantime, have yourselves a great weekend, and God bless you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.